At Gospel Community Church, our mission is to know the Bible, share life with others, and bring hope to our city and the world. You're listening to the Gospel Community Church Sermons Podcast, where we go through books of the Bible, verse by verse and line by line, to hear the truth that God's Word has to encourage, discipline, and bless us in our daily lives.
Merry Christmas, Gospel Community Church. How are we doing this morning? Great to see you. Great to see you. My name is Kurt McDonald. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And this morning, it is my great, great honor and privilege to bring to you God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his blessing to it. Well, church family, atheists would have us believe that we cannot know God because he does not exist. Belief in God is irrational, atheists would say. After all, we don't need him because we have science, atheists would tell us. Well, the problem, the thing that atheists claim is actually on their side is actually working against them, namely science. We are discovering now that inside DNA and inside cells, there is a blueprint for all living things, meaning this, there is a highly sophisticated coded sequence of information inside of us determining all living things which evolution cannot explain. Amen? So, where did this highly detailed blueprint come from? Well, atheists cannot answer this question, nor can atheists answer the question how an incredibly complex universe with an estimated 2 billion galaxies developed out of its own, out of an explosion. So at this point, maybe the agnostics would come in, and the agnostics would say, well, because of the complexity of life and the complexity of the universe, of course there is a creator God, but we cannot know him because he is too complex. And then us as Christians with great authority coming from the Word of God, we would have this to say, write this down, church family. We can know who God is because he has revealed himself to us. That's what Christmas is all about. We are excited this morning. We're happy this morning. We've dressed in our Christmas colors this morning. Amen. And all of that excitement stems from the fact that God has revealed himself to us, and we can know who God is, despite what the atheists say, despite what the agnostics say. Based on the Word of God, we can know who God is. And so over 2,000 years ago, the God of the universe came down from heaven, and he put on human flesh. That is the incarnation. Why? So that we could know him. So that we could know who he is, so that he could reveal himself to us. The creator became like the thing that he created. And he came with one mission. Church family, what is so exciting this morning is that the baby doesn't stay in the manger. The baby grows up. He lives the life that we could not live. He then dies the death that we should have died on the cross in our place for our sins. He grows up and he goes to the cross. Amen? That's why we're so excited. That's why we're fired up this morning. That's what Christmas is all about. And so my hope this morning is that we will see the baby in the manger and be in awe, that the light bulb will come on for us this morning, that we'll see the baby in the manger who grows up and go to the cross, and we will see this is why we've bought all these presents. This is why we put up the tree. This is why we're gathering with family. We will see the substance of the season and not just the shadow. That is my prayer for us this morning. If you're taking notes, write this down. This Christmas, see the substance. See the substance and not the shadow. Church family, the substance has been revealed to us in the baby, in the manger. And so this morning, I want us to turn our attention to this text in John. Listen, I know kids are in the room. I know they're going to be wiggling. We're totally fine with that. We are glad they're here. We're glad you're here. And so let them wiggle. It's totally fine. I'm just going to keep yelling. It's not going to distract me. So here's what I want to do. I want us to turn our attention to the Gospel of John. I wish I had time. I wish I had time to preach this whole text, but I don't. I'm going to jump into verse 9, and just I want us to see again the substance of the season and not just the shadow of the season. And so what I need to do, I need to give us a pathway through just these verses this morning, and we'll start like this. First, we're going to see that God has revealed himself to be true light. Somebody say true light. Second, we're going to see God has revealed himself to be the creator of all in verses 10 through 11. Third, we're going to see God has revealed himself to be, watch this, the means by which we are adopted. We're going to see that in verses 12 through 13. And fourth and last, we're going to see this. God has revealed himself to be the Word in the flesh in verse 14. Can we begin this morning? Y'all ready to go? All right, get your Bibles out. You got to look at the text and follow along with me so you know I'm not making it up as I go. Here we go. One, God has revealed himself to be true light in verse 9. As we look in the manger this season, what we need to see is that that baby in the manger is true light. It's true light. So why would God need to reveal himself as true light? Look at verse 9. Here it is. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Why would God need to reveal himself as light to us? Well, because we're blind, that's why. Because we're in the dark, that's why. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I am so glad you're here, but I need to tell you this. You are blind and you're in the dark. Merry Christmas. Without Jesus, we are all blind and in the dark. And so here is what I mean. When I say we're blind and in the dark without Jesus, what I mean is we don't understand the purpose of life and why we're here. We don't understand what all of this is for unless Jesus shines his true light into our lives. Every human everywhere is trying to make sense of why they exist, and you will never understand or never experience the fullness of life until Jesus shines his light in your life. Amen. And so the light shines on everyone here in this verse without distinction, and some receive that light, and then others reject that light. Verse 9 says that this light is coming into the world. That light is coming into the world. And so here in the Greek, it's the word cosmos. And this word cosmos, or the light coming into the world, doesn't just mean the planet. Rather, it means the world's system, or the world system of rebellion against God. That's exactly what he's referring to. So it's not just the planet. It's used to describe mankind in its rebellion against God, the world system of rejecting God, which is why here's what we need to know if you're taking notes. Jesus was willingly born into a hostile world. As we look into the manger, as we're seeking to see the substance of what Christmas is really about, we need to see that this baby was born into a world system, the cosmos, which was fighting against him, which was rejecting him. This is why we should be overwhelmed. This is why we should be gripped by the incarnation this morning. Jesus did not step out of heaven into the Ritz-Carlton. Jesus didn't step out of heaven to go live in luxury at the Four Seasons to where he could just step out on the balcony and wave to his adoring fans. No, Jesus entered into a hostile world with hostile people who would ultimately torture and kill him. But he did it for the love of us. Second, I want us to see this, that God has revealed himself to be the creator of all. In verses 10 and 11, as we look in the manger, we've got to see that this baby, this child, created literally everything. He is the creator of all. Look at verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. John here is echoing something that he's already said. If you have your Bibles open, just let your eyes go backwards in the text to the very beginning of the chapter. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, help me to somebody say amen. I wish I had time. I don't. I got to move on. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Watch this in verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John is communicating this profound thought to us this Christmas season. He's saying that the baby in the manger existed with God before he came to the earth. Verse 3 makes it crystal clear that Jesus is not a created being, as some religions teach. Rather, Jesus created everything that there is, meaning that Jesus spoke and things came into existence. So if any one of you in here in the room tried to create something, say you were going to build a shelf or a table or you name it, you are actually start, you have to start with something in order to build something. But what makes Jesus unique is that he created everything out of nothing. This is incredible. And so what I want you to hear is this. The incarnation, Jesus takes on humanity without ceasing to be what he already was, namely fully God, co-equal with the Father and the creator of all things. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. Jesus made you. Jesus made you, meaning you are now owned by him because he is the creator and you are responsible to obey him. That's what we're learning here in this verse. But some people don't receive him. Some people don't obey him. Look at verse 11. He came to his own. Are y'all with me this morning? He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. This is a shocking rejection because his creation, which he created, is now rejecting him. The Jewish people were awaiting the Messiah, and yet they didn't see the Messiah there in the manger. And listen, the Jewish people aren't any worse than all of us. All of us, to some point and extent, have rejected Christ. If you're taking notes, here's what I want us to see this morning. Here's what John is communicating to us. Write this down. Jesus was willingly humbled and humiliated on our behalf. He takes on human flesh. He comes to dwell and to be with us. He takes on this humility and he goes to the cross and he is humiliated on our behalf. He put himself in a position. Listen to this. Jesus, in coming as a baby, puts himself in a position to where he has to learn. Mary has to teach him to count. Mary has to teach him the colors and the shapes. But he puts himself in this position for us and on our behalf. He does for us what we could not do for ourselves. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 2, 7 through 9. But he, that is Jesus, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Watch this. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Third, here's what I want us to see this morning. God has revealed himself to be the means by which we are adopted. How do we become children of God? Well, look at the baby in the manger. That's how we become children of the God. He grows up and goes to the cross, making a way for us to be adopted by God. Look at verse 12. But to all who did receive him. But to all who did receive him, what does that mean? It means who believed in his name. Watch this. He gave the right to become children of God. The reality is we are all sinners by nature and by choice. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in the line and lineage of our first father, Adam, who in the garden sinned and brought sin onto all of humanity. Therefore, all of humanity continues on in the rebellious nature of our first father, Adam. We have all been separated from the family of God. And yet Jesus comes. Amen. Jesus comes, and though we are spiritual orphans, again, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I'm so glad you're here, but you need to hear me this morning. If you're not a Christian, you are a spiritual orphan. That's the bad news. The good news is Jesus has come and has made a way for us to be adopted back into the family of God. He does it through the cross. Amen. He does it through your faith in his work on the cross. That's how we're adopted into the family of God. So he says, for all of those who, I'm back in verse 12, for all those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, in our own sinful desires, we wanted to live on the streets. We wanted to not have a family. We did not want love. We did not want protection, but Jesus would not allow it. He comes to adopt us into his family. That's why verse 13 says this. Who were born not of blood, meaning God doesn't accept us based on race. God doesn't accept us based on how spiritual our parents were. I'm glad your parents went to the Baptist church or whatever. That's fine. But that's not how we're saved. Amen. So we're not saved based on blood. So it says, verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Again, our sinful desire is that we wanted to be orphans. We wanted to remain on the streets with no family, no love, no hope, no protection. But Jesus comes to adopt us into his family through his shed blood on the cross. What does all of that mean? If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus was willing to pay the price for our adoption. If you miss everything that I've said so far, here's what I want you to hear. Christmas means we are no longer orphans. Amen, somebody. Christmas means we are no longer orphans. The baby in the manger has come to make a way for us to be adopted into the family of God. I want to restate my hope again this morning. My hope is that we'll see the substance and not the shadow. I don't want us to be distracted by the shadow this morning, but I want us to see the substance, namely the incarnate Christ. Fourthly and lastly, I've done all the work thus far to get us to here. Here is Christmas in one verse. Here it is. Let's look together at verse 14. As we look in the manger, there is so much more in the manger than just a child wrapped in swaddling cloths. It is the Word, the Logos, the God-man there wrapped in those clothes. Look at verse 14 together. And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh, meaning this, that for 400 years there had been silence. The Old Testament prophets had stopped speaking. God had stopped communicating to his people, and there was 400 years of silence after the completion of the Old Testament. God had not spoken, and then all of a sudden, here comes out of the silence the Word of God. What does that mean? Well, the Word, John is calling him the Word because the Word is an active representation, a manifestation of God himself in time and space in history right there some 2,000 years ago. He's the Word. He is the manifestation of God here on the planet with us. That's what it means. He becomes flesh, meaning he put on humanity. He did not cease to be what he was, namely God. Jesus has been God forever from eternity past, and he will forever be God. Amen. But he takes onto himself something that he was not, namely humanity. What he says here is that the Word became flesh. So John could have said this. John could have said, the Word became like the ones he created. Or John could have said, the Word became adopting a human form. But what John says is, the Word became flesh, literally in the Greek, incarne. We get that word, carne. We understand what that word, if you know Spanish, you know what that word means, carne. It means meat. Literally what John is saying here is that God became meat. He's using this graphic term for us, this explicit graphic term for us, because John wants to show us the graphic nature of what happened. Meaning this was not a sterile environment with well-trained doctors and nurses that delivered this baby. What is happening in the manger is that there is a teenage girl giving birth for the first time, and there was blood, and there was sweat, and there was afterbirth, and Jesus came out covered in blood, gasping for his first breath and screaming like every other baby. That's the substance of the Christmas season. It says, and the Word became flesh, look at this, and dwelt, or literally tabernacled. I wish I had time to go back in the Old Testament and talk about God tabernacling with his people, but I don't have time for that. I got to move on. And dwelt, or tabernacled among us, and we have seen his glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus was willing to dwell with us so that we might see his glory and receive his grace. Don't you see, church family, this is why the Christmas season is so incredible. Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He could have looked down upon us sinners and said, I hate that for them. That's terrible. I mean, God's wrath is coming for them. I'm glad I'm not them. But instead, Jesus steps out of heaven. He puts on human flesh. He comes and lives the life that we couldn't live. No one in this room, including the man on the stage with the Bible, we could not live that life. But he does it for us in our place, and he dies the death. He takes onto himself the punishment that you deserve. Jesus has taken for you on the cross. This is why we're so excited about Christmas. This is why Jesus has come, so that we can see his glory and receive his grace. And so this Christmas, I want us to see the substance. Can you see the substance this morning? Not just the shadow. The presents under the tree are a shadow. Why? Because they are a shadow of the true gift that has come in Jesus Christ. The family that is gathered around you, that's just a shadow. A shadow of what? Your true family when you are adopted into the family of God. That's the true substance. Well, what about all the food that we eat at Christmas? Y'all are thinking about the food you're going to eat right now. I can see it on your faces. But the food is a shadow of the true feast that is coming in the kingdom of God. I want us to see the substance and not just be distracted by the shadow this morning. And so here is the substance of Christmas, and I'm done and out of your hair. Jesus was willingly born into a hostile world. That's the substance of Christmas. Jesus was willingly humbled and humiliated on our behalf. That's the substance of Christmas. Jesus was willing to pay the price for our adoption. That's the substance of Christmas. And Jesus was willing to dwell with us so that we might see his glory and receive his grace. That is the substance of Christmas. Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for this great text. I pray that our hearts this morning would not be distracted by the shadow of Christmas, but our hearts would be enthralled and in love and gripped by the true substance of Christmas, which has come in the God-man in the manger. Oh God, inspire our hearts this morning. I pray for those in the room this morning who do not believe. God, would you open their eyes, open their heart to see the true substance of Christmas, and let this Christmas be the Christmas that they finally bow the knee to the true King Jesus. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Feel free to share the contents of this podcast, but please do not alter it in any way without permission. Please like, follow, and subscribe to us on Facebook or iTunes. Visit gospelcc.com for more content like this. At Gospel Community Church, our mission is to know the Bible, share life with others, and bring hope to our city and the world. Thanks again, and have a blessed day.